Okay, good morning. Today's daf is daf Samachay, page 65. We are on the very bottom of Samach Dalet Amud Beis, page 64b. So the Gemara is discussing the question of a Ger Toshav. Ger Toshav is a non-Jew who has full right to live in Israel. Normally, we don't want non-Jews in Israel. But the Ger Toshav, that's his definition. He's the stranger who's a resident. He's allowed to live in Israel. What is a Ger Toshav? So the Gemara suggested three points of view. One is that he accepted in front of a court not to worship idols. Idea number two, he accepted in front of a court to keep all seven mitzvos b'nei Noach. Or he accepted in front of a court to keep all the mitzvos, just that he's going to keep eating non-kosher. So the question is, can a Ger Toshav annul idolatry? Or maybe not, since he doesn't worship it anyway, he doesn't have the ability to annul idolatry. So Rav Chizdad said that he thinks that a Ger Toshav does not have the ability to annul idolatry, because after all, he's not Rav Nachman. It was the one who said he thinks Ger Toshav does not have the ability to annul idolatry, because anyway he's not worshiping idols. So the Gemara quotes a brisa all about laws of Ger Toshav, and the bottom line is that it said, "L'shar kol davar ariyuko v'kochavim." In regards to all other matters, he's like a non-Jew. So what does that mean? So Mia, right? Katani Mia said, "L'shar kol davarav for other matters ariyuko v'kochavim." So Lamai Hilchasan, what halacha is that regards? Lavdim avat lavodas kochavim kol v'kochavim isn't the point that he can annul idolatry like a regular idolator. I'm Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. No, not necessarily. Really, maybe he doesn't have the ability to annul idolatry like Rav Nachman because he doesn't worship idols. What does it mean he's like a non-Jew? In regards to a Ruvei Chatzerot, if you have a courtyard and there are homes that open up into the courtyard, so the homes are private of single individuals, the courtyard is somewhat more public because all the people can use the courtyard. So even though really it's a private home to a private home, it looks a little bit like a private home to a public domain. So Midi Rabbanan, rabbinically, they said that there's a prohibition. What you have to do is you have to turn the courtyard into a private domain, turn it into a single domain. How do you turn it into a single domain? Every member of the courtyard contributes a food item or contributes money, which is then used to buy a food item, and a meal is purchased and placed in one home. And by having a common meal in one home, it's as if all the different homes are in that single home. That's a Din D'Rabbanan, and that's a major theme in Masechet Eruvin. So what happens if one of the people in the courtyard is a non-Jew? So a non-Jew, he doesn't have the ability to... what happens like this? Let's say it's Jews, before we get to non-Jews. Let's say it's Jews, and one of the people in the courtyard, one of the homes, forgot to participate in the Eruv. So then he has the option called Bittul Rishut. He can annul his domain. He can just say, "My Rais Shabbos enters, my domain is nothing, it's not mine, it belongs to the community." And that's already enough for this law of Eruvei Chatzerot. A non-Jew, though, does not have the ability of Bittul Rishut. For a non-Jew, in order for us to get, to make an Eruv, including a non-Jew, we need to actually rent his domain from him. That's why here in Englewood or in other places where we have an Eruv, we go to the city council. When we first set up the Eruv, we give them a dollar. We said, okay, we are renting all the domains of this area in order to be able to have an Eruv. So anti-Semites could say, you know, here, selling the whole place to the Jews, something, okay. But that's what we do. So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, what does it mean that a Ger Toshav is a non-Jew? Lo, it's not in regards to annulling idolatry, it's in regards to Eruv laws. In regards to the concept of Litein Rishus, to be able to give away a domain, or Levato Rishus, to annul a domain. Kedetanya, look at a Braisa. Yisrael Mumer, let's say you have a Jew who's non-observant. But Mishama Shabbato B'shuk. In public, he keeps Shabbos. In private, he doesn't. Then Mevato Rishus. Then he has the ability to just annul his domain to the courtyard. But if Ein Meshamer Shabbat B'Shuk, if even in public he doesn't keep Shabbos, then Ein Mevato Rishus, he doesn't have the ability to annul his domain, you have to rent it from him. Because the sages have said, Yisrael knows Ein Rishus, Mevato Rishus. A Jew if on Friday night, as Shabbos is entering, he realizes, you know, we haven't participated in the Eruv, he can annul a domain, he can give away his domain. A non-Jew doesn't have that ability, actually, you need to rent it from the non-Jew. And since someone who publicly violates Shabbos has the status of a non-Jew, you have to rent it from him as well. Kate said, how does Bittul Rishus work? Omolo Rishusi Knuyalach. The Jew says to the other Jews, my domain is acquired to you. Rishusi Muvutelaslach. My domain is annulled to you. Kana, the other Jews have acquired it. Ve'insarach Liskos. They don't even have to do an act of acquisition. So in what regards do we say a Ger Toshav is a non-Jew? In regards to Erevin, and if we have a Ger Toshav in a courtyard, we need to rent his domain. We can't just have him annul his domain because he has the status of a non-Jew. But in regards to annulling idolatry, maybe that he doesn't have the ability to do because he doesn't worship the idols. Anyway, that completes the discussion of Ger Toshav. Yeah, question, please.
Any non-Jew who nullifies the idol clearly isn't like a firm non-Jew, right?
No, he's a Ger Toshav. He doesn't worship idols anyway.
But a regular guy who nullifies the idols is
right.
Not so respectful of the idol.
Correct.
So why would the Ger Toshav be any different? Meaning inherited.
The Ger Toshav has already fully accepted Judaism. I mean, he's accepted no idolatry. Yes. So he's out of the category. He's accepted no idolatry. He made a commitment in front of a Beit Din. He made a promise.
That's more significant.
So
yes.
Rabbi,
this is the
Maximum Arabs living in Israel now. They could go for Ger Toshav.
They're
qualified to
be? No, I don't think so. I don't think they're Ger Toshav. But it's a big question. Some say that they are Ger Toshav. Rav Kook wanted to say they were Ger Toshav because that would enable him to sell the land to them during Shemitah, before Shemitah. But the Rambam actually says Ger Toshav is a non-Jew goes in front of a court and he makes a commitment. So he says it only happens when we have Yovel. So we don't have Yovel nowadays. So I don't think they would be Ger Toshav. Also, as Rabbi Riskin points out, they didn't accept all seven mitzvos p'nei Noach because they don't accept the law not to kill. So unfortunately, if you don't accept the law, thou shalt not murder, you're not one of the Ger Toshav. You have to accept all those. I think so. For now. Okay, so now a story. We are on the very bottom of Samach Dalet Amud Beis. A story. In Masechet Avodah Zarah, we learn that a Jew is not allowed to send gifts or to do business even with a non-Jew on their holidays, with the Gentile idolatrous non-Jews, that is, because that's going to cause those idolaters to go to the church and to be more thankful to their idol. We're going to be increasing idolatry. And yet, here's a story. Rav Yehuda Shadali Korbana, Rav Yehuda sent a gift to Avidrana. Avidrana was a certain idolator. Biyom Edom, he sent it to him on January 1st on their holiday. Amar, he said, Yadarabe, I know this guy, Delo Palach Lavodas Kocham. He's like David's man. He's not such a religious non-Jew. He doesn't actually worship idols. So Amar, Rav Yosef said, how does that help? Vatana Bulindin Abraise says, Zeo Ger Toshav. What is the Ger Toshav? Kosha Kibalov Bifnei Shlosha Chaverim, someone who goes in front of a court. And in front of three judges of the court, he makes a promise. Shelo lavod avodas kochavim, that he won't worship idols. Avidrana never did that. So my answer is kitan yahi. That's in regards to another level, achayoso, for the obligation to sustain him. We have a mitzvah to help out a Ger Toshav, the same way we're supposed to give a loan to a Jew. We're supposed to give a loan to a Ger Toshav. So at what point is he a Ger Toshav that he deserves a loan from us once he makes a commitment in front of a court? But in terms of him not being someone who's going to worship idols, that he's not worshiping idols. So then already you can send him gifts on his holiday. Then it's just a New Year's gift. It's not an idolatrous gift. Ask the Gemara, is that so, that a Ger Toshav, that any person who's not worshiping idols, you assume is okay? I found Rabbi Bar Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, but Rabbi Bar Yochanan says the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Ger Toshav, let's say someone said, I'm not going to worship idols, he's a Ger Toshav, and Avraham of Yud Beis Chodesh, 12 months have gone by, Velo Mal, and he still hasn't done circumcision. So then you know he's a big idolater. Harehu Kimin Shabov de Kochavim, he's like the top heretic. He's so attached to idolatry, he's not even 12 months go by and he still can't get rid of it. He's really an idolater. So 1 second, but But I thought you don't even need much to get rid of idolatry. Now, Hassam over there was going to keep a love of Lama of Lomal. That's where it's part of his being a Ger Toshav. He had promised to do circumcision. So if he had promised to do circumcision, and then 12 months go by and he doesn't do circumcision, then you know he's really an idolater. He can't get out of the habit. But a regular, if it's not with those promises, a non-Jew who you see is not a religious guy, doesn't go to the church, he's not that observant, so then it's okay. Then you can give him gifts even on the day of their holiday. Rava, amtile kurvana levar shishach. Rava brought a gift to Bar Shishach. He was one of the Persian ministers. B'yom Edom, on their holiday. So how can you do that? It's their holiday, giving a gift. He's going to go thank his God. Amar, so Rava said, Yadanabe, I know about him. He's not a religious guy. He's not going to worship idols. Then we have a whole discussion about the world to come. All right, no questions here. Azal Ashkeche the Yosavat Savar Bevarde. He saw that Bar Shishach was sitting up to his neck in rose water. V'kaimon Zono Sarumos Kamei with naked prostitutes in front of him. Amar Lehi said to him, Isluchu Kai Gadol Amodasi. So Bar Shishach said to Rava, are you going to have it as good in the next world? Amar Lehi. So Rava said, Didan Adifa Bitvei Mihai. We're going to have it even better than this orgy that you are celebrating. Amar Lehi. So Bar Shishach said, Tvei Mihai Mihava. How could you have anything better than this? Amar Lehi. He said, I'll tell you what's better. Aton you Ikola. You're in this world. You're still worried about the king. You're worried about the taxes and the government and the police. And now, so we're going to get to the next world. We're going to have even better pleasure than this. We're not even going to have any worries about any kings. So Bar Shishach said, but I'm a big guy. You know, I'm a, you know, very wealthy and a friend of the king, and I'm the vice president. What fear of a king is there on me? So Adiyasvi, as they were sitting, Asahu Pristika Damalka, the messenger of the king came. Amalei said, Bar Shishach, come get up. The king needs you right now. So Kinafik Vazel, as he was walking out, Amalei said, you know what? You Jews are unbelievable. You say something and it happens. Any eye that wants to see any harm in you, Tipaka, should jump out of its socket. Amalei Rava said, Amen. That's right. Anyone who tries to see any harm in the Jews, his eye should jump out of its socket. Paka ain't the Bar Shishach. The eye of Bar Shishach jumped out of his eye. Rav Papa said, Why did Rav have to argue and explain, well, the next world for us is better than this, you know, crazy orgy going on in this world for this Bar Shishach? Could have told him a pasuk. You buy a little man, I cry. Could have told him a verse that our next world is better. The verse says, Benos Melachim Biyakro Secha. The daughters of kings are going to be giving you honor, are going to be your maids. Nitzva shegali yameinecha b'kesem ofir, that the queen is going to sit at your right, adorned with gold. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Yibayelim Yimei Marachi, could have said this pasuk, Ayin l'ras elokim zulascha. No eye other than God has seen, Yasa l'machakalot, what God is going to do for those waiting for him. Okay, could have given him psukim, that our reward is better, but he didn't. Okay. Okay, going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah taught us that the rabbis created a prohibition that if a Jew is hired to work with idol items, with, let's say, wine that was poured to an idol, he can't take the wages. And so too, if a Jew has a donkey and the donkey is hired out to transport the wine poured to the idols, you can't take the wages. But if he was hired for some other job and then in the middle he says, okay, do something for my barrel of Yenesach, he could take the wage. Says the Mishnah, Scharo Lassusim Umlach Acheres, if he hired for him to do another work, not the Yenesach, Afa Pishamalo Haver Lichavish of Yenesach, Makam Lamakam Schar Mutter, even though he says, also transport for me a barrel of Yenesach, money is allowed. Ask the Gemara, really, in the middle of the job, you can tell him to do that? The money would be allowed? V'afagav Delo Amarle Li Tosei Erev, even though it wasn't that he tells him after the job is done, now move for me some Yenesach. But I'll challenge you. We learned Hasocher Sapoel. If you hire a worker, a man who hired a worker, he said, okay, you'll work for me for the day. And the worker works for him for the day. Uli Toser. Then in the evening, Amalo, he tells him, Haver Chavish Li Yenesach Mimakom Lamakom, move a barrel of Yenesach from place to place. Scharo Mutter. So then that wage is allowed because the worker did his work for the whole day. And that was with permissible items. Now, after he finished his work, the guy said, okay, do me now a favor, move the Yenesach. Time with Amalei Litosei Erev, since he told him after in the evening, once the job, the obligation for the job had already been triggered in. That's why it was allowed. Kuli Yom Alo, but implying it if you would tell him during the day, it wouldn't be allowed. Amar Abaye, Abaye answered, Kitna Namimas Nisin. You know when the Mishnah says that if he was hired for some other work, he could move the Einesach, Damali Tose Erev Tznan. If the employer tells him after, in the evening, once he had finished a day's worth of work, and now do me a favor and move the Einesach, that's when the work is allowed. Rav Amar Rav said, Lo Kasha, another answer. It's not a contradiction. One is where he said, move for me 100 barrels, and then I'll give you the 100 prutos. So then, all 100 barrels are needed to create the wage. So if one of those barrels is yeinesef, the whole thing is a problem. But if he says to him, move for me each barrel, and each barrel you'll get a pruta for, and there happen to be 100 barrels here, one of them is yeinesef. That's not a problem. Let him move the 100 barrels. Even the Yei Nesach barrel is a separate item. So that one pruta he won't take. Says the Gemara. And here we have a proof to this. Vatani is in a brisa. Hasocher Sapol, a man who hires an employee, Vamali, a non-Jew hires a Jewish employee, Vamalo, and he tells him, Haverli Mea Chavios, move for me 100 barrels. And after the whole 100 barrels, then I'll owe you Mea Prutos, 100 Prutos. V'nipzos chavish shol yei nesach b'neyem, and one of those barrels is yei nesach. So then that yei nesach is creating the obligation. So scharo aser, so the wage is not allowed. But if he tells him, move for me chavish, chavish p'pruta, move for me barrel, barrel, each barrel of pruta. V'nipzos chavish shol yei nesach b'neyem, and one of those barrels is yei nesach. So fine, so each barrel is a pruta. So this pruta he can't take. But the other prutos he can take. Schara mutter, the other prutos he can take. Then the Mishnah says, the same law that we have with an employee, we also have with a guy who rents out a donkey. A person who rents out a donkey for the donkey to be transporting yei nesach. Schara asur, the rental income is not allowed. But if he was rented out the donkey for other purposes, then in the between he can also take yei nesach. Why do we need to have the case of donkey again? It's the same thing as a person who's working. So my answer is safe. It's trichole. The latter case is needed to tell you because chara leishivalea. That even if he hired the donkey, to sit on it. Even though the non-Jew put his jug of wine on it, aleha schara mutter, it's still permitted because since it's not normal to put a wine jug on a donkey, the point is the non-Jew is paying for the riding of the donkey, not for the transporting of the wine. Asks the Gemara, Lememra, does this come to say delagin lavdina hulo suvi, that it's not normal when a person rents a donkey to be putting a barrel on the animal, because it's not normal to do that? Or mini, is that really true? I'll ask you from a question we learned in a braisa. Hasocher sachamor, a man who rents a donkey, hasocher meniach aleh psuso, if he rented a donkey, he's entitled to put his garments on it, lugino, and his barrel of wine, and mizonosav, shalos laderach, and all of his food for that road, mikan ve'elach. Now, if he wants to put more than that type of stuff on the donkey, so chamor ma'akev alav, the donkey driver can say, no, you can't do that. It's too much on my donkey. And chamar, maniach le'asorim v'teven, umizonosav, shalosu ayom. The donkey driver, when he rents a donkey, he can put on the barley and the hay and the food for that day. He wants to put on more than that. So chamachiv olav. The one leasing it out can stop him. So what do you see in the braisa? That it's normal if you rent a donkey to put on the donkey a barrel of wine. So if it's normal, so when the non-Jew rents my donkey, he's renting it to also put on the barrel of wine. And part of what he's paying me for is the barrel of wine. So the whole wages should not be allowed because the barrel of wine is idolatrous. Amar Abaye, Abaye answered, Nihi delag and dinu hulo suvi, even though it's true that when a person rents, it's normal for him to put on a barrel of wine. Mia, nevertheless, ilo mosiv le, if the guy renting wouldn't put the barrel on, Mia mino le nechi le agra de l'ginyase, we wouldn't say, okay, now I can subtract the amount of money that I should be paying for having the right to put on a barrel of wine. It's not such a big deal. So therefore, we can now understand the law of the braisa. So asks the Gemara, Heichi Dami, what's the case of the braisa? Idashchiach lemizban, if while traveling you can buy food, chamar nami lakiv. So then even the wagon driver should be able to say, well, you can go buy food. But if he can't buy food, so then the one who's renting also shouldn't be able to stop him because there's no option to get food. So I'm Rav Papa answered, Lo Tzricha, we're talking about a case, the Shriach L'Mitrach L'Mizban Me'Avna La'Avna, that you can work hard and get food from hotel to hotel. And therefore, Chamar Darke L'Mitrach L'Mizban. The donkey driver who's normal for him to go out and look for food, so let him go look for food. He can't take more food on this donkey than one day's worth. But socher, but a renter who doesn't know the way that well, lav darke l'mitrach l'mizban, and therefore you can take food for the entire trip.
So are we saying that if you rent a donkey to someone, you have to tell them that in the contract that he cannot transport wine? Or you could just not have any duty to inquire?
You don't have a duty to inquire.
Avuad
Rav Acha b'Ed Rav Ika, the father of Rav Acha, who was the son of Rav Ika. In other words, Rav Ika. So he was selling wine to storekeepers. So what he used to do was like this. Have a shafak lu chamel ov de kochavim. He would pour the wine from the barrels into leather flasks of these non-Jews, where there were in these leather flasks there was some yenesach. Then va'azel ma'abru ma'abra. Then he used to go and help these non-Jewish storekeepers transport these leather flasks in his boat. V'yavu le'gulfei ba'agra. And the non-Jews used to give him these leather flasks as the payment for all this effort with the wine and the transport. Asu, they came, Amulei Labaya, they told Labaya that Rav Ika is getting paid with these leather flasks for helping out with Yenesech, namely wine that's getting mixed with Yenesech. So how could he get paid for it? I mean, isn't that the point of this Mishnah? If you're hired by the non-Jew to help with the transport of the Yenesach, you can't get paid. You can't take the money. So Amaluhu Abaye said to them, Rav Ika was okay what he was doing. Because ki katarach betera katarach. When he's dealing with the wine, it's wine that's not yet prohibited. Because remember, it's his wine. The wine becomes prohibited once it's in the flasks. But he is pouring it into the flasks, and when he's pouring it, it's still permitted wine, so therefore he's entitled to get paid. So Gemara says, 1 second, Varotza Bikiyumo, but once the wine is poured into the flasks, he wants the wine to last, right? He doesn't want these flasks to blow up, and then he's going to have to pour out some more, then the people he's working for are not going to give him any flasks. Anytime you want something, that's also not allowed. So Gemara says, the Masni Ba'adayu, Rav Ika made a condition with his customers that even if their leather things blow up, he's not going to give them flasks, so he doesn't really care. Inami, alternatively, Demaisi Prizdakai Ba'adayu, the workers bring with them These customers bring with them also empty jugs, that if their leather things would break up, they would put it into the jugs, and they would pay anyway. So bottom line is, he doesn't really care for the wine. Iva kamabalu me'abra, but afterwards, he is transporting the wine to katarach b'isura. He's working then with yenesach. At that point, it's prohibited. And then he's getting paid for that work. So the Gemara answers, he really wasn't doing that. He told the skipper of the boat way before any purchase that he should help these people, you know, go across the river for free whenever they want. And he wasn't really helping out that much, and therefore he wasn't getting paid for the Yenesach. As he had already said before, anytime you see these non-Jews, help them cross, whether it's with Yenesach, not with Yenesach. So that's what it meant, that he helped them cross. He had made the arrangements for them to cross. Inami, alternatively, Dinakitze Bay Kitra. He used to make a knot on their on the flasks, and then the skipper knew, based on that knot, that these are people who were customers of Rav Ika. And once they were customers of Rav Ika, he would transport them for free. So it wasn't really their Rav Ika's. Is literally bringing their stuff across the river. He's not working with the wine. Rav Ika is making an arrangement, and then somebody else is giving it to them for free. So therefore, Rav Ika was entitled to get paid for this wine business, even though it was wine business with non-Jews. Yeah, question.
Let's go back to the donkey real quick. We learned in the beginning of the Sefta that you couldn't even leave your animal at the inn because you couldn't trust the
donkey. Could not leave an animal at the inn.
Right. So here we're letting the person take the animal, you know, for the full day.
Yeah, it's different. He's renting. You know, it's a business arrangement. You know, people are on edge. It's different. And there's a driver. That's right. Now we have a Mishnah. Yei nesach shenafal al gabei anavim. Let's say you have wine that was poured before an idol, so it's totally prohibited, and it fell on top of grapes. So now you want to eat those grapes. All you need to do is just wash them off. Then you can eat them because the grapes have a peel which will prevent the wine from dropping inside of them. But if the grapes were slit, then asuros, then they become prohibited because the wine drops inside. And just washing it off is not going to take out the wine taste. And there's a wine taste here, which makes it prohibited because the wine itself is prohibited. It's yei nesach. Nafal ol gabei tanim. Let's say you have yei nesach falling on top of figs. Ol gabei tzmarim, or on top of dates. So im yesh ben beno, same time. If when you eat the date, you can taste the wine. Also, it's not allowed. So that's not allowed. When you eat the fig, you can taste the wine. It's not allowed. And dates, they also have cracks in them, so wine gets in. So if there's enough wine here that the taste is still going to be felt, it's not allowed. In other words, if there's not 60 times more than the wine, it's still going to be not allowed.
But Rabbi, there's nobody touching this grape here. This is just talking about the juice coming out, right?
No. Somebody poured yei nesach on it.
Wine, really wine.
Yeah. No, they're in a bowl. In a bowl of grapes. That's right, something spills into the bowl. Oh, Maisa, there was a story. Bibaisa's ben zonin. Shehevi grogros besfina. He brought dried figs in a boat. And a barrel of prohibited wine broke, also in the boat. And fell on all these dried figs. The Shal HaChacham, he asked the sages, what's the law of Yitzurim? They did allow them to eat the figs, because this is the law of no sein tam lefgam. If it gives a bad taste, it doesn't get a prohibition. Wine and dried figs is a bad taste. Zachal, this is the rule. Whenever you have a taste going into something else, Kol Shabbat also b'no same time, any taste which you would enjoy, usur, creates a prohibition. Kol Shein b'no also b'no same time, but anything which ruins the taste, it's not an addition, it's not a plus, mutter is allowed. That's called no same time, lifgam. Kagom, let's say you have chometz, let's say you had wine, which is prohibited, yei nesach, that became spoiled vinegar. And that vinegar, shenafal agabe grisin, that vinegar falls on top of, what is it?
Split beans.
Right, it falls onto peas or split beans. So the taste of vinegar in beans makes it worse. So even though the vinegar is from yei nesach, since it's no sin tam lefgam, it gives a bad taste, it is therefore allowed.
And we don't do butel for wine. Doesn't go.
We do. We would do butel. Yeah, we said. It had to give a taste.
Part to flavor.
It's exactly the point. It has to give a taste. If you have 60 times more when you don't have the taste, then it's butel. That's right.
Even with their nesach.
So either 60 times or bad taste.
Correct. You have two options. Either a bad taste or 60 times as much. So now, asks the Gemara, I don't understand. The Mishnah is rejecting the rule that it brought, my solicitor, right? It starts off by saying that yei nesach, it falls into things, it creates a prohibition. Then it says a story about figs on a boat that were allowed. So the Gemara explains, chisure michsur, there is a key line missing from the Mishnah, achi katani, this is the way to understand the Mishnah. Kim's point. Im no same time lifgamhu, if the wine, though, is a negative addition to what it fell into, it gives a bad taste, then mutter, then the food is allowed. Umaisanami Baisis ben Zonin. There was a story with Baisis, son of Zonin. Maybe Grogros Pisfina is bringing dried figs on a boat. Vinishtabra Chavishal Ye Nesach, and a barrel of wine of Nesach. Of Yenesach fell in, v'nafal al gabeim, and some of the wine fell on the dried figs. Uval ma'aseh lefnei chacham, that came before the sages, v'yitirum, and they allowed it because it was a bad taste. Okay, now a story. Hahu kri dechiti, there was a pile of wheat. V'nafal alei chavisa de yenesach, that a barrel of non-kosher wine fell on this pile of wheat, and now it gave taste to the wheat. So Sharye Rava Lizavuni Lovit Kochavim. Rava said you could sell it to a non-Jew, you could get benefit from it. Esa Rabba Belivai Lirava, so Rabba, the son of Levi, challenged Rava. Begat Shibit Bo Kulayim. Let's say you have a garment, and then you notice that mixed in it, there is Kilayim. It's a linen garment. In it, there's a thread of wool, so it's prohibited. Hareza Loyim Krena Lovit Kochavim. You can't sell it to a non-Jew. You can't make it a blanket on top of your donkey. You can make it as a shroud to a dead body that otherwise wouldn't have shrouds, because that's not considered getting any hana. There's no wearing of shrouds. There's no wearing. It's not a garment for the dead. And mitzvah is not considered benefit. So, lo avit kochav my time alo. Why can't you sell the garment to a non-Jew? Do masal is winning Yisrael, because maybe he'll turn around and sell it to a Jew. So, Hanami, see here too. If you have wine falling into wheat, how could you sell it to the non-Jew? I see this winning Yisrael. Maybe he's going to turn around and sell it to a Jew. So, therefore, Rava regretted his ruling, and he said, "No, you can't sell it to the non-Jew." But hadu sharlemit chininu, he allowed them to grind up the wheat. Ulamifinu, and to bake out of the flour bread. To sell the bread to the non-Jew, without a Jew around, so then you don't think that the Jew is going to turn and eventually buy it from the non-Jew. Ask the Gemara, it's not within a Mishnah. If the wine falls on grapes, just wash them off and they're allowed. But if they were cracked open, asuras, they're not allowed. Mevukos with the wheat, if the cracked wheat, they're not allowed because the wine gets absorbed. Shame of Ukoslo. Only if it's not cracked will it not be allowed because wine doesn't get absorbed. So wheat presumably is not cracked. So why did Rava say you can't eat the wheat? So I'm Rav Papa. Rav Papa answered, no, wheat is cracked. Shiny chiti. Wheat is different. Hoel agav tzirayu kimavukos tami. The way they are made is they have a crack. Since they have a crack, the wine could get in, and the wine made it prohibited for the Jew to eat it, but he could turn it into a bread, which could be sold for the non-Jew.